Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. You're listening to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. And kicking off the show today, we have a guest right away joining us on the phone is Middle Tennessee State University strength coach Jason Spray. Jason, how are you doing this fine morning?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really good. Jason is the Middle Tennessee State strength coach. He's personally trained Packers linebackers Eric Walden and Jamari Lattimore. Jason, we first kind of ran across each other on Twitter, and as the backstory goes, I had written that Eric Walden at one point this season was the only outside linebacker on the Packers not listed on their injury report, and you said that doesn't surprise you due to the training he puts in. Can you go into a little bit more detail there?
Yeah, you know, because with Eric, you know, this offseason, you know, he knew there was a lockout, but that wasn't going to, you know, stop him from putting in his work. And, you know, Eric, he usually comes up around May, early in the offseason. And with the lockout this year, we knew we had a couple months to get ready and get prepared. And, you know, Eric trusts me. And, you know, I know Eric will come to work every day. And we put in, you know, 3 and 4, you know, months of good, solid work. And, you know, that doesn't surprise me with Eric.
I think I remember you saying that you thought Eric was probably the only NFL athlete working out on holidays like the 4th of July. So you can confirm that while other athletes were out at holiday barbecues, Eric was training even during the NFL lockout this season?
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, because this summer we had it was Eric and Kerry Williams, the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. And, yeah, I can guarantee you those two were probably the only two professional football players who just wasn't hanging out at cookouts at that time of the year. They were here for Memorial Day and the 4th of July. you know, they kept me accountable and I kept them accountable. So it was a good thing.
Sounds good. I know some fans locally here are concerned about the Packers' pass rush. Eric only has one sack this season, but he has 12 quarterback hits. Do you think those sacks are going to come for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he will. You know, just, you know, he just been one step late, you know, every time. And, you know, I saw that the other night. I mean, he had two crushing hits on, you know, Matt Ryan. And, you know, I've seen he's been getting some double teams and whatnot. But, yeah, you know, Eric, he's fighting, and he's going to get there. I'm not worried about it.
One item that made news here in Green Bay this season was Eric's $15,000 fine for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Bears quarterback Jay Cutler. For those that maybe don't know Eric personally like you and may only judge him based upon that one item, you know, how would you classify Eric's style of play?
Well, you know, Eric's not good. He's not a malicious person. I can't, you know, to me it looked like he tried to pull off on the hit. You know, he's not going to purposely try to, you know, injure a guy or take a cheap shot. He's just a hard player. He plays, you know, whistle to whistle. So, you know, I mean, I, you know, I'm not going to, you know, discredit him on that. I'm sure that was just a complete accident.
You know, we talked about before, you said, you know, he put some hard hits on Atlanta's quarterback Matt Ryan, some vicious hits, but clean, you know, certainly not penalized or fined for those. I mean, do you think he's one of the harder hitters in the game?
Yeah, you know what? I know this. Eric, he has tremendous strength and power. He generates power in one step as good as anyone I've ever been around. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a, you know, from South Georgia, you know, good country guy, you know, strong guy. You know, he's got that old, what you call, country strength, you know. And I'm telling you, if one-on-one and, you know, bull rush, you know, possibilities and hits on the quarterback, I can guarantee you, Eric, he can bring it just as good as anybody else.
We're talking to Middle Tennessee State strength and conditioning coach Jason Spray, who also trained Packers rookie linebacker Jamari Lattimore. Jason, Jamari, from what I understand, didn't play much on special teams at MTSU, but he's one of the core special teams players here in Green Bay. What does that say about his athleticism that he's able to do that at the professional level?
Oh, I think it says a lot. I mean, Jamari is one of the more athletic guys we've ever had here. I mean, there's, you know, we played him at linebacker sometimes. So sometimes he would stand up. Sometimes he put his hand down. I mean, you know, there was a couple times where he had, you know, pass deflections and he would run them back for touchdowns. I mean, the athletic ability is there. I mean, you know, you take a 230-pound guy, and I'm what I hear, he's eating and trying to get his weight up to 240s and 250s, and I know he can handle it because he's a strong guy, and he runs in the 4.5. So that's I know he can handle that. Jamari is a very athletic guy.
Please stop me if I'm wrong here, but Jamari plays outside linebacker for the Packers, where he's lining up in the trenches almost every play. But I think he played off the line of scrimmage in college. What does that say about his versatility?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Like we said, you know, he had to play a position here for us that we needed him to play. And you know, he may have been a little out of position at times. But again, you know, I thought, you know, Coach Stockstill and the defensive staff did a great job moving him around and, you know, trying to get him, you know, some more publicity at different positions, and it showed that he is versatile. And like I said, you know, strength is not one of Jamari's problems. So, you know, once he learns the techniques, and I'm confident that he'll be just fine.
Jason, we put together an NFL draft guide here at Cheesehead TV. Is there any under-the-radar players at MTSU this year or in the future that could be professional prospects we should be looking for?
Yeah, I think you have Malcolm Bea. He's a wide receiver. You know, I think he could possibly hit the scene. You know, he's a very fast guy. He runs in the 4.3s. You know, I think when it comes time to it, I think he'll weigh around 200 pounds running in the 4.3s. He's got great hands, great athletic ability. So I think he could be one guy that could possibly, you know, hit the scene next year.
We'll keep an eye on him. Jason, I briefly checked your personal website where there's actually a picture of Eric Walden, and I see you're very involved in social media and writing. Do you want to let our readers know where they can read some of your writing on athletic training?
Yes. My website is jasonspray.com, and I write for stackmagazine.com as well. Feel free to go on there. I mean, we cover everything. I have guest writers on the site. I mean, everything that's, you know, dealing with athletics, speed, nutrition, weight training, anything that, you know, you want to read about, it's on there. You know, at time from time, I'll try to have a quote from, you know, Eric or, you know, Terry or Rod Isaac, the place for the Jaguars. Just try to, you know, so the fans can, you know, just kind of have a little insight on what they're doing.
Fantastic. Jason, before I let you go, I just had to let you know, just came to mind, an article published today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Eric Walden, a very large feature article, probably the most in-depth feature ever written on Eric, from the local media at least. So I encourage you to check that out because it was just published today. But Jason, thank you so much for joining us and talking a little football this morning here at Railbird Central, and best of luck to you at MTSU the rest of the year.
All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care, and thanks for joining us once again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take care. Jason Spray, strength and conditioning coach at MTSU, joining us here on Railbird Central this morning on CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks to him, and thank you for all our listeners and our viewers for checking in this morning. How you doing, folks? Here we are on a Wednesday, getting ready for a Packers throwback weekend against the St. Louis Rams on Sunday at Lambeau Field. Big weekend for CheeseheadTV.com, for PocketDoppler.com, for First String PR, bringing you throwback weekend. A lot of events in the Green Bay area. Hope you can join us. We're going to be at the Abbey Bar in De Pere on Saturday night for a little public tweet up, and then a tailgate party Sunday morning before the game, the St. Louis Rams at the Green Bay Distillery, right next to Lambeau Field, adjacent to Ray Nitschke practice field. So, you know, hope you can join us, and, you know, let's get to it here on Railbird Central. Let's go through some of the stories. You know, I mentioned when I was talking to Jason, a large feature article on Eric Walden, and we'll get to that in a second here. And what I have is, if you scroll up on the live blog at the top, I left a link to this morning's Packers Data Links. And the top story today, though, is the new security procedures. And I guess this kind of goes right hand in hand with Throwback Weekend that we're hosting in Green Bay. Cheesehead TV going to be in Green Bay this weekend. And, you know, the backstory is the last home game, I guess that would have been two games ago, against the Denver Broncos. The Packers implemented the new changes to security being implemented around the NFL, not just in Green Bay, but everywhere. That includes a metal detecting wand and long lines. You know, literally the lines were looked to be, to me, you know, a football field long at times. And there were fans that missed the opening kickoff, missed part of the first quarter due to these procedures. And you know, just simply due to long lines that people were missing the game. And you know, when you're throwing down, you know, a lot of money, hundreds of dollars, you know, between tickets and parking and food, among a family, I mean, that's a lot of money, and you don't want to miss the game when you're paying that much money. And so that was kind of a big item, big newsworthy item that the Packers want to afford. So news today, if you look at the Packers data links at the top, you know, there's every news outlet has an article on the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Fox Sports Wisconsin, Fox 11, Packers official website sent out the press release. And anyway, so what's happening this weekend is that there's going to be more gates, more screening lines, more people doing the screening, and hopefully, they're hoping that that's going to make lines a little bit quicker, move a little bit more quickly through Lambeau Field and into the game. And we hope, and everybody hopes that's the case. As I said before, when you're spending hundreds of dollars, nobody wants to miss the game. And by all means, if you want to call into the show, the phone lines are open. The phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to talk about the security procedures at Lambeau Field, let us know about the last time you went in to the game. If you happen to be there against the Broncos, but by all means, call in. Let us know how things went. You know how these procedures are going. And, you know, perhaps maybe tips on the fastest gate to get into the stadium. Although the Packers do suggest that you use the gate nearest your seat. So, so I will see there. But anyhow, or if you want to talk about Packers linebacker Eric Walden or any of the other topics, feel free to call into the show. You know, the next story down in today's Packers Daily Links is that article on Eric Walden. And what it is was a very large feature article written by Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Eric Walden. He actually grew up in Georgia, and you know, the game against the Falcons this past weekend, past Sunday night, was a return to his native Georgia, and there was family and friends there to see him. But, you know, it goes into his childhood, this article does, and very, you know, very much in depth, and a lot of things being brought to light here that I had never known. And I just read a paragraph here, if you bear with me for just one moment. It reads, quote, "The life-changing memories returned. His dad dying of a stroke when he was 10, his cousin stabbed to death in a drunken fury when he was 12, his grandmother passing away, three tragedies back to back to back sent tremors through Walden's childhood." Just wow. I mean, it was a very moving story, very touching to see how much Eric Walden has gone through to get to this point in the NFL. And you know, I suppose this would be a good time as any here to talk about the Packers pass rush, and what Walden brings to it, and just the pass rush in general. You know, a lot, you know, the Packers, as we've all known here, haven't got a ton of pass rush this season. You know, last I checked, they were in the middle of the pack, but, you know, I think some of the sacks came in garbage time when, you know, teams are far down and they're playing catch up and they have nothing to do but pass late in the game. And, you know, it's, you know, how much do those sacks really count? I mean, Certainly a sack at any time is that's something you would want and like, but they're you know, more when the game's still hanging in the balance, you want that pass rush. And you know, a lot of has been made about Clay Matthews this season, only having one sack so far through five games. But coaches and fellow players insisting he's having a good season. Of course, Clay Matthews has been injured as well. Nothing enough to keep him out of the game, but I think he has a quadriceps injury. You know, last year he had the fractured shin and, you know, a micro fracture, stress fracture, they say. So nothing like huge by any means, but still, I mean, there's, you know, he's been injured. Is this affecting him? You kind of wonder all these things. And now Eric Walden on the other side, he started every game this year. You know, he's, you know, obviously not quite up to the level of a Clay Matthews in terms of pass rush. But, you know, you go back to last year, you can remember Eric Walden getting three sacks in one game against the Chicago Bears, being named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And this year, even though Eric Walden has one sack, as we mentioned in the interview with Jason Spray, has, you know, 12 quarterback hits this year. So, I mean, and Clay Matthews, get this. According to the statistics the Packers keep, and I'm not sure they're the same as the NFL's, I'm not sure. I know sometimes they differ. But Clay Matthews, through five games, has 22 quarterback hits. Hits this year. Only one sack, but 22 quarterback hits. That's a lot of hits. That's a lot of hits on quarterbacks. Very interesting. I want to come back to this pass rush, but I do see the question on the live blog here from John that is very interesting. I'd like to get to as well. If Bulaga is fit to go on Sunday, who gets the start at left tackle? And we had a post on this yesterday at Cheesehead TV, and kind of in the comments section, people were weighing in on this as well. Of course, Chad Clifton is injured, got injured the last game here against the Atlanta Falcons. Hamstring injury, going to be out several weeks for sure. Maybe this season, we don't know. That's kind of still up in the air. But anyhow, Marshall Newhouse has played both right tackle, switched over to left tackle when Clifton went out. Derek Sherrod came in. Played pretty much for the first time ever as a professional this past Sunday. And the Packers have a lot of options to look at here. Today, the Packers return to practice for the first time in preparation for this Sunday's upcoming game against the St. Louis Rams. And everybody knows that Brian Bulaga is getting to the point after himself suffering an injury 2 weeks ago. He's getting to the point where he can possibly return, has a severe knee bruise or had a severe knee bruise, and Center Scott Wells had an interview on the Tim Brando show yesterday that airs on the CBS Sports Network and Sirius Radio, saying they're expecting Bulaga back. He's getting to the point where he needs to be, you know, about to come back. And so the question here, does Brian Bulaga go to left tackle or does Marshall Newhouse play there? And, you know, you can kind of make the argument for both. I have what I think the Packers will do in my mind, but, you know, I can see the argument being made either way. Brian Bulaga has now played on the right side for this is his second season, not full time. You know, it took him halfway through the season last year to become the starter when Mark Tauscher went down. But anyhow, Brian Bulaga has kind of become entrenched over there, has a lot of experience over there, and is that his place where he's going to play the majority of his career? I think it is. I think it is because, you know, they move Marshall Newhouse over to left tackle. And, you know, with that, Marshall Newhouse has more experience than Brian Bulaga at left tackle. I mean, neither has much by any means. But Marshall Newhouse played very, very well last week, you know, against the Atlanta Falcons, at a position he didn't practice much at. So, and I think the Packers keep him there. You know, what Marshall Newhouse really has going for him is some very good athleticism. And, you know, I think that's what you want as a left tackle. You know, even it's kind, you know, I wouldn't say he's Chad Clifton anymore as this great athlete. Perhaps maybe he was at one time when he came out of college, but I mean, injuries have kind of robbed him a little bit of that athleticism. But I mean, still, Chad Clifton is known for his pass blocking, not so much as run blocking. And, you know, I think it's too early to make any judgments on Marshall Newhouse, but, you know, people talk so much about Newhouse's athleticism that I think, you know, just as long as he can be an athlete and be able to stay in front of pass rushers, that he's going to be in pretty good shape over on the left side. And I mean, like I said, it's still very early in both Newhouse and Bulaga's career. But I can see the argument being made for Bulaga at left tackle. I can see that. You know, Bulaga has played immensely well last season during their Super Bowl run so far this year. I think perhaps the argument could be made that he maybe has the highest ceiling of anybody on the Packers offensive line. And if he does, I'm not sold on that entirely, not to say that I think it couldn't be true, but, you know, why wouldn't you want him protecting Aaron Rodgers' backside if he is? So, I mean, I can see that. So, but, you know, what I think is going to happen, you'll see Marshall Newhouse at left tackle, Brian Bulaga at right. I personally think Brian Bulaga will be coming back this week. It's probably not official yet, but, you know, if not, Derek Sherrod will be back. You know, you kind of keep your eye on who the Packers might add here on the offensive line. Boy, you got to think the Packers are going to make a roster change this week. Somehow, some way, you know, they're going to make a roster move, whether it's Nick Collins' spot, which I think that's probably who they'll finally put on injured reserve. They hadn't really needed his roster spot up till now, but it's getting to the point where, wow, the Packers need some depth here on the offensive line just in case, because they have so many injuries. And you know what direction they'll go, whether we've talked about this before, whether it's Tony Moll, who the Packers worked out a couple weeks ago, whether it's Mark Tauscher, you know, former guy who's on the street, has experience in the system, or it's just a guy from the practice squad or a street free agent, we'll see. So you know, it will be interesting. Couple comments on the live blog here that I've seen. Taryn for 12 commenting, Newhouse will not allow Chad back on the line. Going out on a line there with that comment. Newhouse, even if Chad Clifton comes back healthy, will keep Chad Clifton on the sidelines. That's a bold statement. We got to see what happens here with Chad Clifton. Obviously, that might not even be an option. Could be out for the year for all we know, but we'll not jump to any conclusions here. Comment from Stewart saying they could even use TJ Lang at either tackle if further injuries occur. Yeah, in a worst-case scenario, obviously, TJ Lang's played both tackle spots during regular season games in the past. They'd obviously like to keep him at left guard if need be, but if push comes to shove, sure, they could use TJ Lang at either tackle spot. Comment from John, tend to agree that they'll keep Bulaga at right tackle and let Newhouse fill in until Sherrod is ready. Question from Kevin, whatever happened to Campbell? Wasn't he here in the preseason, got released? Yeah, Chris Campbell, practice squad player last year, got hurt during the preseason, didn't play a whole lot or participate in training camp, ended up being released. So for all I know, he's on the street right now. I haven't heard about him being picked up by any other team, but could for all I know. Midwest fan commenting, Newhouse equals Wally Pipp. That's going out on the line, isn't it? But anyhow, Clifton would be Pip. So to Marshall Newhouse's What, Lou Gehrig is that? Or who had the consecutive game streak there that Cal Ripken eventually broke? Anyhow, you know, getting excited here for this game against the St. Louis Rams coming up. And a question from Derek. Will the Rams be wearing throwbacks this weekend too? To my knowledge, the Rams won't be wearing any throwback uniforms. Not that I've heard, at least. So I'm not in the loop in as far as the St. Louis media goes. But the Packers will be wearing their 1932 throwback uniforms. The navy ones with the yellow circles. Very interesting. Not at all like what the Packers wear now, but should be exciting as the Packers wear their throwback uniforms and we get ready for Throwback Weekend, brought to you by CheeseheadTV.com, among others, this weekend in Green Bay. Several events throughout the weekend. Tweet up Saturday night at the Abbey Bar in De Pere, tailgate at the Green Bay Distillery before the game on Sunday, right next to Lambeau Field. So excited for that. Just big weekend here at Cheesehead TV. Perhaps the biggest event we've ever thrown before. Well, last year we had a nice one in New York City for the road game. You know, where our colleagues here that are headquartered at, Aaron Nagler and Corey Benke, of course, living out in New York City. And when the Packers played the Jets last year and having several events last year, going to the Lombardi Play on Broadway and social events before the game, tailgating before the game. Oh, question from Midwest fan. Some Brewers talk here. Do you know how they will reschedule if the NLCS game is rained out today? Usually they just push everything back a day. That's what I've seen them do with the other games that have been canceled so far this year. So if today's game is canceled, which is looking like a distinct possibility, unfortunately, the Packers, you know, or pardon me, the Brewers, you know, it's the game three would be played on Thursday, game four on Friday, game five, on Saturday. And then they probably wouldn't have an off day, you know, that was scheduled to be. Then they'll come right back on Sunday again back in Milwaukee. So that's the way they've done it in the past. And again, this is assuming, you know, one of the teams doesn't win three straight here. So, but anyhow, another exciting weekend for Wisconsin sports on tap, as long as the Brewers keep it competitive, and both against the St. Louis teams. Packers taking on the Rams, Brewers taking on the Cardinals for the right to go to the World Series. So it's something. They just keep on coming here in Wisconsin. Badgers finally get back in action this weekend as well after a bye week last week. Albeit they play Indiana this weekend, who appears to be one of the poorest BCS teams in all of college football from a BCS automatic qualifying conference. Although they did play Penn State tough a couple weeks ago. It was a very close game that they had there with them. But yeah, so once again, you know, please, if you're in the Green Bay area, by all means, come out to our events this weekend in Green Bay as we get ready for that. And thank you, everybody, for joining us here on Railbird Central this morning. Thank you for joining us. And I'm excited here, actually, for the first time, we've received permission from Psy Fidelity Records to be using their music on our shows here at CheeseheadTV.com. And we're going to leave you today with some music from the music from their record label. Leaving you today with String Cheese Incident. This song is called Sometimes a River on their One Step Closer album on Psy Fidelity Records. Thanks for joining us today, everyone. Back with Railbird Central one more time on Friday before Throwback Weekend. See you then, everyone. Go Pack, go.